Alrighty, hello everybody. So, one of the very first real adult, and I don't mean adult as in like X-rated, I mean like adult in terms of the themes. One of the first adult movies I ever saw was American History X, right? Now, to give you an idea of how long ago I saw this movie for the first time, it was not long after it came out. I'm not sure what year it was. I can't remember if it was 97 or 98. It might have been 98 because I'm almost certain I was in middle school, and I was in middle school from 98 to 99. So this was a long time ago. And to give you an idea of like how long ago it was for me, I had never been on the internet before when it came out. Okay, and the reason why I mentioned that is because American History X was shocking to me. Like the just how like gratuitous and just the violence. I wasn't mentally prepared for it. Like I had seen, horror movies and stuff before that. I think I'd seen the first Scream movie, maybe even the second Scream movie by then. Like I'd seen some gory stuff, but this had a level of realism and a level of hate that just it got to me, okay. Even today, there's certain scenes in that movie that kind of are a little bit shocking. The one where they break into the grocery store, it's pretty grim to say the least. Like I said, there are scenes in that movie even today that I still find difficult, even though I've now, I've seen all sorts of crazy stuff over the past 25 years. But yeah. Now, the movie American History X, you could say it's a little bit of a subversive movie. Okay, you could say that American History X is a little bit subversive because it is. But I would say American History X has had more impact on me than almost any other movie I've ever seen ever. Okay? Like in terms of all the movies that I've ever sort of taken a message from and like never forgotten it and consciously and unconsciously applied it to my life. No movie has ever had more of an impact on me. Now, I'm not going to get like deep into the plot of the movie, okay? Some of you have probably seen it. It's kind of a guy's movie. It's kind of like Fight Club. It's one of those movies that I feel like a lot of you will have probably seen American History X. But for the few of you that haven't, it's not super relevant to this video, like what the plot is. But just to give you like a brief synopsis, enough that you can understand my video today and the point that I'm about to get into is the movie. It came out in the late 90s and is set in the late 90s on Venice Beach in America. And it's about these two brothers played by Edward Norton and, oh, what's that other guy's name? Edward Furlong, right? The kid from Terminator 2, but he's kind of irrelevant to this video. The Edward Norton character is the one that I wanted to talk about. So, Edward Norton is a neo-Nazi in this movie. He's a skinhead. He's at the far right of the political spectrum. We'll just leave it at that, okay? Again, it's not even super relevant for this video, but the point is, he gets swept up as a teenager in like ultra far right politics, right? And the movie takes place over several years, but eventually he goes full mask off, shaves his head, and joins like a far right, bordering sort of on illegal, ultra nationalist gang, right? Anyway, so the plot of the movie is that the Edward Furlong character, the younger brother in the movie, is like taking after his older brother. So the older brother, whose name is Derek in the movie, I'll just refer to him as Derek from this point on because both of the actors are named Edward, so it's easier for me to refer to their names in the movie. So, the Edward Norton character, whose name is Derek in the movie, he eventually gets arrested because a couple of Crips try to break into his home, and he shoots them and curve stomps one of them. It's like this really famous scene. I feel like 80% of you have probably watched this movie, but for those of you who haven't, there's a very famous scene where he shoots the two intruders. And he's sentenced to, I think it's 3 years in prison from memory for manslaughter. Now, he goes to a California prison. So, he's already going to be a minority regardless in that prison. And it doesn't help the fact that he was part of a neo-Nazi gang when he was on the street. So he's immediately in fear for his life. He even says, like, you know, after 2 days in that place, I didn't think I was going to make it a week. But just in the nick of time, he discovers that there's an Aryan Brotherhood-like kind of gang in there, and he manages to join them. So just in the nick of time, his life is saved by these, you know, fellow neo-Nazis, basically. Because it's a Hollywood movie, it's kind of a cliche, like they've all got swastika tattoos. It's a bit cheesy, but other than that, it's a pretty good movie. Anyway, so he spends about a year in prison, a year of his 3-year prison stint, and he had been doing pretty well up until that point. But all of a sudden, he befriends one of the black members of the of like one of the opposite gangs, right? I'm not even sure if the other guy was part of a gang. Basically, a black inmate and him slowly develop a kind of genuine friendship because they're forced to work together in the laundry. And while this is happening, while he's developing this, you know, friendship with this other black inmate, he also has a little bit of a falling out with his own gang over some internal politics. So he kind of moves away from the Aryan Brotherhood gang and starts to very publicly play basketball with this black inmate. And the Aryan Brotherhood gang, feeling slighted, decide to teach him a lesson in the shower. So they jump him, and there's a, you know, really violent scene that some of you probably know what I'm talking about. It's very, you know, drop the soap kind of scene. And he ends up in the prison infirmary. And at this point, he's not only is he broken because he's just been beaten up horribly, but he's starting to realize that he no longer believes in the neo-Nazi, you know, political ideology that he had held for many years. Anyway, sorry, I know I'm very conscious of the fact that I may be drawing this out. I'm probably drawing this out a little bit longer than I need to. So I'll just cut to the chase. So he's in the prison infirmary, recovering from these, you know, brutal injuries he sustained in this prolonged gang attack, and he's visited by an old high school teacher that had been kind of like a mentor. And again, it's kind of like, you know, it's a really cheesy cliche, a trope from like the 80s and 90s that was really popular at the time, where you would have the young wayward white kid who was mentored and coached by the stoic 50-year-old law-abiding, you know, Morgan Freeman black kind of character, right? It was really cheesy, and there was a whole ton of these movies where they had like this token character who was like the steadying figure. Anyway, again, putting the subversive elements of this movie aside, it's a great scene. It's a fabulous scene. So the high school teacher, I think his name is Sweeney, says to Derek, he said, "You need to ask yourself the right question, okay?" He says, "Has anything you've done made your life better?" Referring to the fact that, you know, he basically joined a gang, ended up shooting a couple of guys and going to prison for several years. And Derek is forced to introspect for the first time maybe ever and say, no, it hasn't. You know, if I had never joined a skinhead gang, if I'd never become a neo-Nazi, you know, I would probably just be like a normal, well, he's no longer a teenager. I think his character is in his early 20s by this stage, but, you know, he would otherwise be living a normal life. But because he got wrapped up in a hate movement, he basically just threw his life away. Now, again, I feel like you'd have to go and watch not just the scene, but watch the entire movie to get the gravitas of it. I'm not doing it justice by paraphrasing it like this. But the point is, this scene, little did I know when I first watched this movie 25 years ago, this scene, the message of this scene, would have a lasting impact for me. You know, like, pretty much everything I do now, I think to myself, you know, if I get involved in this thing, is it going to make my life better? I mean, like, in terms of getting involved in something big, I think to myself, is this going to, like, measurably make my life better? And it's the kind of thing you pretty much have to ask yourself before you do anything, really. Because, as per my previous video, I'm not religious. You know, I think that the world is very old, and I think that we're only going to be awake for a very short time to see it. You know, the way I look at it, your life is like an hourglass, one of those, like, sand hourglasses. And every day you get just a little bit older, okay? As you watch this video, you're older than when you first started watching it, okay? A few grains of sand have fallen, right? And you don't know when your hour is going to be up. So, yeah, the last thing you want to do is waste it on some, you know, pointless political cause. Or even if it's not, even if the cause, you know, even if the revolution is just, is it going to make your life better? Right, like I made a video on my old channel years ago where I talked about becoming obsessed with politics and why I would urge people not to become obsessed with politics, because while politics does matter in the macro, right, it often doesn't matter in the micro. Like just the other day, for example, there was a story in the news about Joe Biden giving a pardon to his son, Hunter Biden. Now, this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about in today's video. I'm just using it as an example. There were people online freaking out about this, right? Mostly people on the right freaking out about how this is corrupt, you know, corruption and everything. And, you know, it probably is, right? It probably is. I mean, it's got nothing to do with today's video, what went on in that story. But the point is, people were really mad about it. You know, I was reading comments of people that were really mad about it. And, you know, I have to ask the question, is getting mad about this going to make your life better? Do you have control over it? And that's the point that the movie was making. Okay, you might be justified in having an opinion, a philosophy or whatever, but ultimately, you know, do you really stand to benefit from devoting all of your time and resources into fixing, you know, all of these wrongs of the world? No, not in my opinion anyway. Oh, another really important example I wanted to mention. I've got notes in front of me that I wanted to talk about. Another really important example is revenge, okay? I kind of wanted to do a video about revenge. You know, a lot of people will find themselves in a position where they've been wronged in some way. And, you know, they may be justified in being angry about it. Like, they may have righteous indignation. They may be justified in wanting to get revenge. And in the moment, it can seem like the only course of action is to get revenge. You know, it may not be against one particular person. It may be against, like, a company, you know, like litigation, or it may be a bit more personal than that. But, you know, either way, it doesn't matter, because if you sink untold amounts of time into, you know, getting whomever it is back, you're devoting resources away from making your own life better. You could be using that time to make your own life better. As the saying goes, the best revenge is living well. It's definitely true. Okay, there's no better way to get back at your enemy than living a better life than them. And a lot of people in the moment forget that. Some people will get criminal charges against them in the course of exacting revenge. It's like, you know, they'll shoot themselves in the foot to shoot the other person in the foot. And we've probably all been there at some point in our lives, but you've got to be strong, man. You've got to ask the question, is anything you're doing making your life better? And, you know, I could go on and on about this. Another example is religion. Now, I'm not going to get into religion in this video, but It doesn't matter if you're an atheist, a Christian, a Muslim, whatever the case is, we all have to admit, no matter what your religion, that by definition, billions of people on Earth right now are either doing one of two things. They're either wasting their life on religion in general, or they're wasting their life on the wrong religion. Okay, by definition, there are billions of people doing different religions, so by definition, billions of people are doing it wrong. Which means right now on Earth, billions of people are devoting their time to something that doesn't exist or something that they are wrong about. Just think how sad that is, man. Think of all of the people who didn't get to live long lives. And yet there's all these people alive on Earth right now who do get to live long lives that are squandering it. What else is there? Oh, yes. Getting promoted at your job. This is another one. Now, obviously, you should try and focus on, you know, having a good career, building a business, or whatever the case may be. Money is an important tool that you need to live your best life. And there are studies that prove that higher incomes are attached to metrics of happiness. So money is good. Okay, money is a problem solver. Now, I'm the least materialistic guy out there, okay? There's a huge difference between materialism and recognizing the value that money can have in achieving the things that make you happy. The best way to look at money is to look at it as a problem solver. You know, like, I would be perfectly happy. I would never want for anything ever again. Okay, I could be a sub-5 male and be happy doing this, which is having enough money to just travel the world forever and never run out of money, you know, just having enough money to just, you know, stay at nice hotels and stuff. So, you know, a month in Thailand, a month in Vietnam, a month in Japan, a month in Central Asia, a month in Italy, a month in France, and just tourist visa my way around every country in the world. And when I finally run out, to start over, right? Or maybe having enough money to buy a visa, you know, because once you have enough money, you can pretty much buy your way into any country through, like, you know, citizenship by investment, right? Like, you know, if you buy a home in Cambodia for $2 million, you'll pretty much just become a citizen. So, like, there's, you know, there's ways to go about it. But the point is, I would love to have enough money to just do that forever. Right now, I have enough money to do that for about 10 years, which is why I'm going to need some extra income along the way. I do plan on doing a poor man's version of this, by the way. Scratch the fancy hotels and probably not traveling to that many countries. But that's got nothing to do with today's video. The point that I'm laboriously getting to is that you have to ask yourself before you do anything, is this going to make your life better? And a lot of people will get very hung up on the minutiae of their particular job, you know, their particular company. There'll be a promotion that's dangled in front of them. And rather than focusing on whether or not, you know, rather than focusing on the money, rather than focusing on how is working for this company going to make their lives better, they get hung up on being the guy in the office that gets the promotion or the woman that gets the promotion. In fact, a lot of women fall victim to this because some of their natural instincts are co-opted by the company. So, yeah, I'm not trying to tell people not to focus on getting promoted. I'm just saying that it's a trap that people fall into, a lot of people fall into. And kind of connected to that as well is trying to get promoted socially, okay, trying to be accepted into some social clique. Oftentimes people will, just by happenstance, okay, being in a particular high school or being in a particular geographical area, and they have this need to want to fit in with whatever social hierarchy is there, and they will often sink enormous amounts of time into getting promoted into some social hierarchy that ultimately does nothing, doesn't benefit their life in any way. You know, I've seen many different examples of it. I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen it everywhere. I've seen examples of people trying to fit into some clique that being accepted into doesn't actually benefit them in any way. Now, there are, you know, exceptions to this. You know, there are outlying examples. You know, some people will say, what about charity, right? You don't do that for your own sake. Although even with charity, you know, a lot of people devote time that they really should be focusing on themselves. You know, the old quote, the Jordan Peterson quote, you know, tidy your room. Okay, there's a lot of people out there trying to tidy other people's rooms when their own room is not tidy. So, you know, even then you should be careful. It's like how in search and rescue, the very first thing they teach you is never ever put your own life at risk when trying to free other people from a dangerous situation, okay? Always focus on your own safety, and then you can focus on the safety of others, okay? Nothing wrong with charity or doing things for other people, but even then, that's kind of something you have to be very careful about. And I'm not saying that every little thing you do has to, like, be part of some great plan for your life. It's just the big things, okay? It's the big things. You can go for a drive, you can have a conversation, you can do something that isn't in the moment going to make your life better, but it's the big picture.